Welcome back, folks. We have been very fortunate to have access to Colonel Alex Gann. He's a retired colonel and fighter pilot, for the Israeli Air Force, and he joins us again today. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Colonel, first, how are you doing, and how's your family doing?
Well, basically, we are all okay. So nothing to worry about us. But, you know, the mood and the general situation is bothering all of us. But we're working to correct it.
I know there's been a lot of differences of opinion inside the state of Israel about how to best procure the release of the hostages. What is the chatter now in the streets of Israel?
Well, I'll put it this way. It's most likely the population against the government. I think there's a huge majority among the, no matter from what party, that we have to get the hostages out no matter what. No matter what the cost is. Because there are only 20, maybe less, left alive. They're suffering there. We know and we see what they're going through, and we must get them back ASAP. But the government, especially Bibi, he has his own ideas and his own agenda. So there are demonstrations now every day all over the country, rallies and strikes and whatever, that we want them to get the hostages. But this is the government we have. We're not proud of it.
So right now there's a proposed offensive by Prime Minister Netanyahu, and there's a lot of friction from the Israeli military chief, the foreign minister, as well as the Mossad spy agency chief about, you know, concerns about going into Gaza City and what will they gain, but more importantly, what will they lose? And then what is the next step, which seems to be something that's elusive as they continue to talk about this.
Exactly. You know, we feel, you know, the IDF, it can go into Gaza. You know, an army has always difficulties fighting guerrilla or terrorist groups, which are hiding among the population. It's very difficult. Now, if we want to go into Gaza, we can go into Gaza, and we will conquer Gaza, and we will put Gaza in ruins back to the ground. That's not the issue. The question is, of course, if we have hostages in Gaza, most likely, what will happen to them? What will happen? We know we will lose soldiers doing this mission, but the main question is the hostages. And it's just now, today, it's 700 days since they were taken hostage. And we know they are in a terrible physical and mental condition. So we think, as I said, the most of the population, get them home. And even if it means getting the army out of Gaza, we also took the army out of Lebanon. And we had an agreement in Lebanon, and we are maintaining peace in that front, and Hezbollah under tight controls. That can be done in Gaza as well. But you have to close the whole deal. Hamas will not surrender, because Hamas is an idea. It's a religious. It's not only a group, and they really don't care about the population in Gaza. So we will see what we'll do. They're actually starting now to move into Gaza. It will be terrible, I think.
Hamas seems to be set on maintaining their position of support for a ceasefire that would free some of the hostages. They never give you a definitive number, right? And in the hopes of beginning talks to end the war. But I think it's obvious to everyone, and I'm curious if the Israeli population believes this, that Hamas is just trying to save itself, and they don't intend to give over Gaza to anybody. They want to stay in control of Gaza.
Yes, yeah, of course. But again, if we had a wise plan, which means, okay, let's get someone else to control Gaza, or the Palestinian Authority, or some. There was a willingness from the Egyptians and the Emirates to send in forces too as well. And basically the main idea is to get Hamas at least to surrender its weapons. Mm-hmm. I think that can be done, but we cannot go after each and every one of the Hamas people. You know, I think the estimation is that we killed about, let's say, 20,000 Hamas militants, and almost all their commanders are dead. But they recruit, you know, 15-year-olds, and they pay them $100 to go and put a bomb somewhere. You can never get rid of them, really. You can go after the last one. So that's why we think, you know, even if a deal must be done. Now, the deal which was on the table was actually our prime minister's idea, is to have 10 returned and then 60 days of ceasefire to get the talks done. Now Hamas more or less agrees to that, but now our prime minister says no, he wants all of them out. To tell you the truth, I don't believe we will ever see all of them back. Not all of them alive, and not all the dead ones. I'm not sure Hamas knows where all of them are. And it's going to be a hard time. But it's time to end this war. Enough is enough.
Is there a strong belief that Egyptians or someone like that, a group of the Arab world that could come in and run Gaza and really be able to maintain kind of an objective and independent view that would actually protect Israel's rights?
We think, you know, that it can be done with the assistance of Israel. And we have very good intelligence in Gaza. And like we do in Lebanon now, you know, we're assisting the Lebanese army controlling Hezbollah, and we attack Hezbollah every time they start to group together. This can be done in Gaza as well. But someone has to say...
But you would agree that the dynamics in Lebanon are just a little bit more nuanced, right? I mean, it's not like the Lebanese folks really cuddled themselves up to Hezbollah in the south.
They did. They did in the middle, but now the Lebanese recognize that they have an opportunity which they didn't have for almost 40 years to get their state back. And they have the assistance of the U.S. and they have the assistance of Israel, so they know it's their last chance. So they are very determined to do that. In Gaza, there's no one who is determined to do that. But, you know, if someone will have to come in, and Israel will help them, and even if it's the Palestinian Authority, and although Israel doesn't want the Palestinian Authority in Gaza, but I think they're the only ones. Actually, in certain places in Gaza, there are tribes and huge families, you know, the big Arab families, which are against Hamas. And they rule certain areas. So, and Israel actually supports them. See, there's certain groups. They are not, I would say, the most trustable people in the world, but they're against Hamas. So it's a very complex situation. But I think our... Israel should do better. We deserve better, and our government is not doing the best job, which we could expect from them as a government of Israel.
You know, I think one of the big complicating factors and a huge letdown, not only to Israel, but the entire world, is the inability of the United Nations to get their vision straight, you know, to have 2020 vision instead of this jaded view and perspective that they have, that they're looking at this through the Palestinian lens and the Palestinian lens only. There would be a role for them, but that just further complicates this situation.
No, we don't want that. Look, Hezbollah had members of the United Nations working for them. United Nations had the UNRWA, which is the United Nations help or organization in Gaza. A lot of them were Hamas people. A lot of the Hamas bunkers were under the UN posts.
Yeah.
And we know what the UN, we don't trust the UN. They lie about everything. Actually, the big problem today, I think, is that even nobody in the world, not even the press, not even them, can know the difference between a truth and a lie. And if you have the story, everything of all the stories about, you know, Gaza starving to death, there was a food problem in Gaza. But the amount of people who were really starving there is nothing to compare to Yemen, which you have 500,000 people starving over there, nothing to do compared to Sudan, which you have 10 million people starving over there. But, you know, when you make a good propaganda, and I must say the Hamas did a terrific job. And, you know, even the New York Times, when it posts a picture of a child, you know, he's starving. And a day later, when you show that this picture is of a child who's sick and actually is in Italy, they don't say, oh, sorry, they don't apologize. They put something in writing in 10 page in the corner. So it's hard to know what is the truth and what is a lie. Actually, we see a lot of pictures coming out of Gaza. Just last week, you know, the new coffee shop opened in Gaza, a new meat restaurant opened in Gaza. And it's not opened when you have a starvation there. Someone comes there to eat, and someone supplies them with the food. So it's a complex issue, a very complex issue.
This whole famine thing in Gaza really got overstated, and as you said, it was a great, you know, successful PR move, I should say, on a part of Hamas to get people to believe something that was entirely different, especially when they were completely and totally culpable, right? They were the biggest problems of getting the food there in the first instance. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me how nobody sees what's actually going on, you know, and once the mainstream media starts showing up there and seeing the distribution centers and how this is working and the chaos that's actually caused, in many cases intentionally to try and be disruptive. It's a little disappointing when they still can't report it objectively.
There's no objectively anymore. It's all you see, you know, people kind of, you see Al Jazeera, which grew to be a media monster, which has, you know, tons of money and people all over. They're lying their teeth out, you know, but on anything. And no one tells them they can't say a word to them. And, you know, we don't expect objectivity from many, many reporters. It all depends on what you show them. And right. And you know, when the reporters will go back again into Gaza, it will be terrible because a lot of parts of the Gaza Strip are actually ruins, because they have, you know, miles and miles of tunnels. And when you blow up the tunnels, you blow up the whole area over there. Right. And when Hamas booby traps buildings, and you cause them to explode, so they collapse. It's not over. So that's why I said we should end it as soon as possible, and get the hostages back. This is the most important thing. I think it's very important to our culture and who we are as a people, as Israel, and you know, the Jewish people always considered freeing hostages as one of the most important things he can do as a community. And now we're not fulfilling it. And it's a huge burden on the country, on the people, and on our culture.
What are there discussions about what, let's say everything works out. There's a ceasefire, hostages released, there's a peace deal. Are we thinking about how does this get rebuilt? I mean, you're looking at a 30-year trek, right? I mean, this is not...
Look, to build it, you have to build the whole Gaza Strip. Most, I would say not everything, but a great deal of it is in ruins. And basically, you have to build it. Actually, it will be good for the Palestinians. If they build it, you build new communities and new buildings, and you build new everything so they can have a new society. If there will be, I would say, if they'll have a good leadership, they can become a great place. But if Hamas is there, it will not happen. I think the countries who are willing to support it financially, which is most likely the Emirates and Saudi Arabia and Qatar, at least the Emirates and the Saudis will put conditions on their putting in the money there to the people of Gaza. But it's for us to see. It has to be done as a good... someone has to work at the whole deal. Actually, I was hoping that maybe Trump's team will say, okay, this is the deal, take it now, and that's it. Let's finish it. And maybe this still will happen. We'll see.
Yeah, let's hope so. It needs to come to an end sooner rather than later, obviously, for sure. As always, Colonel, we truly appreciate your time and your insight, and please stay safe. You and your family are always in my thoughts and prayers.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to talking to you the next time, hopefully with better news.
Yes, we hope so. Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.